Let's get straight into it because live on the line now, I'm pleased to say, we're joined by Sky Sports darts presenter Dave Clark. Dave, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Good morning, Yorkshire.
A proud Yorkshireman, of course. Dave, how are you this Saturday?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Looking forward to the Premier League darts. It's in Leeds in a couple of weeks' time, so that should be good. 13,000 sellouts, I believe, so big celebrations. We've got Raymond van Barneveld taking on Phil Taylor and Gary Anderson against Adrian Lurter, repeats the World Championship final, so it's going to be rocking in Leeds on February the 4th.
Yeah, it's not a bad card to start the event, is it? In front of, as you say, a sellout crowd in one of the best venues that the Premier League is held in.
I've got to say, Leeds, I mean, many years ago when I used to go to concerts in Leeds, it was the Queen's Hall was the place to go. I remember seeing many bands there over the years, but absolutely incredible. The Leeds Arena is pretty much the best stadium in Britain right now. It's incredible. You get on stage and the Yorkshire crowd go wild and you can feel the volume of the crowd so much, your clothes actually move with the volume of the crowd shouting. So it's an incredible atmosphere. And the darts is the gift that just keeps on giving. It's been phenomenal over the last 15 years I've been doing it. It's just grown and grown and grown, and TV audiences are going through the roof. And it's just incredible. It's just like WWE wrestling on steroids.
We're just coming off the back of another amazing world championship and Gary Anderson winning back-to-back world titles for a player who, a few years ago, everyone was saying, oh, he struggles on his doubles, he does this, he does that. But what an amazing couple of years for Gary Anderson.
Yeah, I was with him the other night, actually, and he can't quite believe what's happened. He's hitting his doubles. He's one of the heaviest 180 scorers in world darts, and he's just loving it. He won £300,000. And the thing he treats himself to now is an extra shot of coffee and his cappuccino. That's the only thing he's spent his money on so far. But he's a great character. And him and Michael van Gerwen got the Player of the Year award jointly the other night at the PDC Darts Awards at the Dorchester Hotel. And richly deserved. The sport's in a really healthy place.
As you say, you've been presenting the darts now for 15 years, took over from Jeff Stelling, which were big shoes to fill, obviously. But can you imagine 15 years ago exactly where the sport would have taken you to in that time?
No, incredible. I mean, the Alexandra Palace, 66,000 fans came over the 15 days. And, you know, television audiences of well over a million for the last 5 days, which is phenomenal. And we used to go to Blackpool to the match play. We used to have to give away tickets on the seafront because no one wanted to come to the darts. But it's just grown and grown and grown. It's been an incredible journey. And, you know, the players take a lot of credit for that. Phil Taylor, 16-time world champion, he sort of transcended the sport. He's gone a bit off the boil of late and his sort of hand-eye coordination has gone a bit, but he still could be in the mix in the next few years, even though he's 55 years old.
And he's the big question at the moment, is it, will we again see the Phil Taylor hole? We possibly won't. I mean, one of your former colleagues, John Gwynn, once said to me that his peaks will become further apart and the troughs will become big, but when he's still on, and we saw last year in the World Series events, when he's still on, he's still a formidable opponent.
It's just finding that consistency week in, week out, that's the difficult thing. Lots of young players coming through as well, and an average over 100 used to be, you know, Taylor and one or two others could do it. Now there's probably 25 players who can hit that sort of level. And there's an award the other night for the nine darters. There were 16 nine darters on the tour last year, which was unheard of, you know, when John Lowe did it all those years ago. You know, it was an incredible feat. But it's been done week in, week out on the circuit now, and the standards just got phenomenal. But Taylor, you know, he's still competitive. He'll still reach quarterfinals. He still could win a major event. Don't rule him out for the Premier League, by the way. He's got the bit between his teeth. He fancies getting a major title under his belt again. It's the first time since, 1990 that he hasn't got a major title under his belt. So he's hungry. He's still got the desire. He's practicing hard. He's been changing his dart setup. And he's ready for battle in the Premier League on February the 4th.
Yeah, we look forward to that in Leeds, hopefully turning up ourselves. Some of my colleagues are too young to remember Phil Taylor not winning an event. That's the scary thing about this day. I guess the great thing about the PDC, obviously plenty of money goes to the players, prize money going up year in, year out. But one thing you can say about Barry Hearn and his organisations, always do plenty of work for charity, and this year the PDC have teamed up with Parkinson's UK looking to raise at least £100,000 for research into a cure for Parkinson's. Obviously, if people aren't aware, Dave, you're a sufferer yourself, and this must be, you know, from a company you work closely with year in, year out, as you mentioned, for 15 years, a nice thing for them to do, so to speak.
It's fantastic that the players are backing the cause. They're calling it targeting Parkinson's, and they're throwing everything they've got at it to try and find a cure for this terrible illness. I mean, Sheffield University is one of the forerunners in Parkinson's research at the moment, and doing some great work, and hopefully some money will go their way. But I was really flattered when Barry Hearn said that the Parkinson's UK was going to be the charity this year. As you say, £100,000. I'm actually doing a charity walk. I say a charity walk, it's more than just a walk. It's 200 miles coast to coast. I'm setting off on September the 11th from St. Bees on the Cumbrian coast and heading towards God's Own County, right across to Robin Hood's Bay. So the idea is I dip my feet in the Irish Sea one side, pick up a pebble on the east coast, on the west coast, and head east and go right across the spine of the Lake District and right across the North Yorkshire Moors. And 13 days later, end up in the glorious coastline of Robin Hood's Bay.
Well, hopefully there'll be plenty of people there to support you when you get there at the end of the journey. Obviously, 200 miles from coast to coast, it's a difficult journey, a difficult challenge anyway. But how hard is it to train for the event and do the actual thing itself with Parkinson's?
Well, I'm walking every single day now, doing around about 8 miles a day in preparation, but I'm going to build that up to around about 20 miles so I can do it. It's very nice, actually. I got a phone call from Alan Shearer the other day, who got me membership to his gym that he's an ambassador for. So I'm training every week in this gym. Alan Shearer set that up for me, so that's very nice of the Premier League's top scorer to think of me, think of the walk, and hopefully he might join me along the way for a leg or two.
Hopefully so. Now, I remember reading the article in the Daily Mail you wrote, I think it was in 2013, when you went public with your diagnosis. Was that a difficult step to make, to let everyone know what's happening to you and what's happened in the past with you and your family?
It was difficult. It's always a big decision to go public with any illness. Like you said, my father had it, and it didn't end up very well for him. But he ended up dying because of the illness and took his own life, which was very, very tragic and obviously had a massive effect on me. But I'm determined to make things different for me and my family. And it was a massive step going public. But incredible how much support I got, particularly from Yorkshire folk, one of their own. And I'm very proud that I'm still presenting on Sky Sports with the illness. It's as if I'm sticking one finger up to the disease every time I go on air. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit shaky. Sometimes I have to put my hand in my pocket or grab the arm of my chair that I'm presenting on Sky Sports. But I find it very, very fulfilling that I'm still presenting 5 years after getting the illness.
It must distract you at times when you're having to control whatever Eric Bristow is about to say, because he's sometimes an unpredictable character when you're sat in the studio with him.
Well, he doesn't give a monkey's. He doesn't care about anybody. He just cares about himself, Eric Bristow. He's an amazing pundit. He just doesn't care if he offends anybody. Very, very refreshing. And I think him and Wayne Mardle were together. They sort of spar off each other, and Rod Harrington as well. We've added John Parr, the three-time world champion, to the team as well. And he's been a breath of fresh air, a real wordsmith. And, of course, we had the great Sid Waddell a few years ago, who lived in Pudsey in his later years. And we really miss Sid Waddell. But, you know, the lads who've come on board have done a great job in trying to fill his boots, the boots that will never be filled totally.
No, I had the privilege of meeting Sid a few years ago, and one of the great broadcasters and a great person as well. And I guess people may not realise, with the big crowd you've mentioned, the sellout crowd, 13,000 at the Leeds Arena on the 4th of February, that televised darts as a thing was perhaps probably one of the most important people in getting it on TV in the first place, was Sid Waddell, and Indoor League, which of course was born in the city of Leeds as well.
Yeah, Fred Truman, of course, was the presenter of that back in the day. Al Siddy, he used to say at the end of his programme, but that was the Irish Centre in Leeds, and Sid used to talk for hours about how he was the first one to do slow motion replays on table football and shove halfpenny. But darts is the real one that took off, and the split screen where you see the expression on the player's face and the dart going into the board was a Sid Waddell idea, actually. And Sky have taken that on and on and on with the walk-ons and, you know, the music and the lights and Chase the Sun, which everybody dances to in the building up to the commercial breaks. But Sid was the man who sort of planted the seed all those years ago with Dave Lanning and an indoor league in Leeds, yeah.
Yeah, great man and much missed. You talk about raising money, raising awareness as well of Parkinson's. I read, doing research for this, I read one of the interviews you gave a couple of years ago. Is it true that one of the drugs you prescribed was invented over 50 years ago and that's still the best one, or have things moved on since then?
Well, it's a fact that you know, Harold Wilson was Prime Minister, Neil Armstrong hadn't set foot on the moon, and the drug that I'm now on, which is called levodopa, was invented back in 1967. So a lot of research needs to be done, but with scanning techniques, genetic research, some great computer power that's going into brain research, and the MRI scanners are really giving us an insight into what's happening in the human brain. So hopefully the substantia nigra is the place where dopamine is produced in the brain. But your lack of dopamine in the brain means it affects your movement, it affects your mood. It's the sunshine chemical in your brain. So without it, you know, the neurons that produce my dopamine are dying day by day. So it's only going to get worse. I mean, the bottom line is, it's horrible to think, but you lose your smile, you lose your personality, and you lose the ability to walk and talk. That's the horrible effects of Parkinson's. So we really need to sort out a cure, and sort out a cure soon.
Is that one of the things, obviously, I guess you're more aware than anyone else that your career is going to come to an end at some point in the future because of this disease. Is that kind of been a spur to do as much as possible in the time you have?
Well, not just my career. I just think for the good of everybody with this illness, it's a horrible thing. You know, cancer charities get 10 times the funding that neurological charities do. Yet neurological problems have 10 times the impact on the economy. You know, it's no secret that someone with cancer has twice the chance of survival that they did a few years ago. But if you've got Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, you know, there is no cure. Drugs can mask it, drugs can help you, but it's a one-way ticket, and that's got to stop.
I just want to ask you about a couple of random things. I'm sat in the studio now, and invariably we always have on Sky Sports News. You were one of the launch presenters in 1998. Could you ever imagine when you first set foot on set there that it would become the almost cultural phenomenon that it's become today?
That's incredible, actually. When we started it, people were going, you're joking, 24-hour sports news, transfer deadline day, what's all that about? No one will watch that. But it's amazing. From the moment we launched back in 1998, it sort of captured the imagination of everybody. And you know, with the Premiership going from strength to strength and sport on Sky going from strength to strength, it was the go-to channel. And people have it. It's amazing. You go to pubs, and because of the on-screen graphics and stuff, people watch you with the sound down. Soccer Saturday has become an absolute institution with my mate Jeff Stelling. You know, incredible. You think a programme where blokes sit around a studio looking at telly, telling you about what's happening on the screen. That will never work, but, you know, yet it gets a million views every Saturday afternoon. It's quite incredible. And Sky Sports News, from back in those early days, I'm very, very proud to be part of the launch team and I'm very proud of what's happened now. Sky Sports News HQ, of course it is now.
Of course. I was on a message there. I can't be the only person who doesn't wake up first thing in the morning when they put on their TV. That's the first channel they go to rather than watching the proper news, if you will. I just want to ask you about Leeds United. Obviously a big fan. Our studios overlook Elland Road. We've got a game this afternoon, Leeds United versus Bristol City. How have you seen the season going so far for the Whites?
Well, it's been hit and miss, hasn't it? Had a little run a few weeks ago when we were stringing a few together and sort of foot off the pedal. I was disappointed that Sam Byram left because I'm a big fan. I saw him play down at Fulham. I went to the game. I was up after the Premier League in Leeds on February the 4th. I think Leeds have got a home game, so I'm going to stay around my mum's house and go see Leeds United on Saturday afternoon. And I still follow them, but it's difficult, isn't it, week in, week out, when we're so inconsistent and so many problems that the club's got. But once you're a Leeds fan, you're always a Leeds fan. I was a season ticket holder back in the days of, you know, Snowden and Ian Baird and Keith Edwards and John Sheridan and all those sort of guys, and Lee Chapman up front and Cantona sort of play for Leeds United. And then the Ridsdale era when we spent too much money and it all went wrong. But great memories of Viduka and Harry Kewell. I was watching a little montage of their goals the other day, and Tony Yeboah. I've seen some great days, Ellen Road, some miserable days as well. But once you're a Leeds fan, as I say, you're always a Leeds fan, and you can't you take the boy out of Yorkshire, but you can't take Yorkshire out of the boy.
You're just waiting for that day when I guess everyone's waiting for them to get back into the Premier League, because it does seem ridiculous that it seems so long now without Leeds in the top flight.
Well, it just staggers me that all these clubs around Britain get multi-millionaire owners or billionaire owners from abroad. And we haven't managed to find one yet. It'd be great if someone with serious cash could take the club over and really put us back where we belong, because the fan base is there. You know, you talk to anybody in their sort of early to mid-40s, and the Leeds United fans, wherever you are in the country. And it's such a great brand and such a great city. We deserve to be in the Premier League.
Now, you were a radio man before you made the move into TV. And I understand you had some fun covering a Leeds United game once at Elland Road.
I've had loads of fun covering Leeds United games over the years. I'm trying to think what in particular. But I remember when Tony Yeboah was playing for Leeds United and threw his shirt at George Graham in the dugout and walked off the pitch and never played for Leeds United again. I was there when Gordon Strachan lifted the league trophy as well. So I've had some great memories following Leeds United. It was amazing because I used to work for a big radio station down in the south, and whenever Leeds were playing a London club, I always used to follow Leeds. And, you know, I was always a bit biased in my commentary, I think, because I was trying not to cheer for Leeds United and trying to cheer for Arsenal or Spurs for the London fans. And I think the bias used to come out now and again.
Well, that's the hardest thing, is it, to try and pretend not to have some passion for a club? Unfortunately, it's shone through for me a few times. But as professionals, I'm sure the listeners have never noticed, Dave.
When I'm screaming and shouting when Strachan got a goal back in the day, I'm sure they never noticed.
Dave, we look forward to seeing you at the Premier League darts on the 4th of February. Enjoy your trip back up to Yorkshire, and obviously the very best of luck with this Coast to Coast walk coming up in September. How can we donate, and where can we find more information?
Clarkie's C2C on Just Giving, or I'll put something up on my Twitter account now with a link to my Just Giving page, which should be good. And it's Dave Clark TV on Twitter. So I'll put something up now for Radio Yorkshire listeners.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you very much for your time. Very much appreciate taking your time on the Saturday morning to speak to us. Very best of luck with that and for the future. Dave Clark, thanks for your time.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks. Dave Clark there from Sky Sports Darts, and I'll tweet out the link as well, justgiving.com/Clarkies C2C.